Daniel chapter 3. Let's spend a few minutes in the Word of God today and let you get home and safe and sound and warm. How many of you thankful that you have heat? Whew, my soul. Thank the Lord for it. Think about all the people who are without. And so many things we're missing, but so many things we have. And let us not take them for granted. We are truly blessed, aren't we? We're blessed people. Daniel chapter 3. Verse number 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't that amazing? And these three men, everybody say that together. And these three men, that's important. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down. Next word. Bound. In the what? Right in the middle of it. Of the burning fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast, how many? Three men, what? Bound in the midst of the fire. They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see, how many? How many they cast in? How many see? Four men, what? He cast in three men, what? He looked down, saw four men, what? Cast in three men, what? But looked around, saw four men, what? Oh, y'all preaching now. I just ought to amen y'all. Cast in three men, saw four men. Won't he do it? All right, go home. It's time to get in. Is God speaking to you this morning? Hey, listen. It ain't going to turn out what it looks like. Somebody help me preach. See, if you throw a pity party over how you went in, you're not going to throw a celebration on how you come out. I'm preaching. You and I got an afternoon together. 49ers and Cowboys. Somebody's going to be bound and somebody's going to be loose. If I win, you happy for me. You win, I'm happy for you. I want you to be happy for me. I want y'all to be bound. I want us to be loose. Let's talk about the Bible. Amen. He threw in three men. He sees four men. And that ain't even the best part. And notice what the Bible says. Did not we cast in three men bound in the midst? They said true. Verse 4, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. What are they doing? I thought they were bound. In the what? Of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the what? Is like the Son of God. Somebody say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the preaching of your word and the reading of your word. Do what you do. And let us just be here to witness it and experience it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The message is how to come out of the fire. Not how to avoid being in the fire. Because if you're living right, you're going to be in the fire. Some kind of a fire. Hey, listen, look at me. I don't care who you are. A good Christian or a bad Christian, you're going to get in trouble. OK, Okay? Either you're going to get in trouble for doing right or you're going to get in trouble for doing wrong. But you're going to get in trouble, all right? Because the world doesn't like what you do when you do right, and the flesh doesn't like what you do when you do right, and the devil doesn't like what you do when you do right. So here are these Hebrew boys thrown into the midst of a culture, okay? This third furnace was not the first place they were cast into. They were taken from Judah and cast into a culture. And being cast into the culture, they ended up clashing with their Christianity. Chapter number one, we saw that happen. Chapter number two, we saw Daniel interpreting the dream that no one else could interpret. Chapter one, we found out that the way that God did it made them 10 times better. In other words, Christianity won in chapter one. Christianity won in chapter two. Now, here's my question. If it wins in chapter one, if it wins in chapter two, why do we doubt in chapter three? How many times has God come through? How many times has God been faithful? How many times has he shown up? How many times has he made a way out of nowhere? Now, listen to me. I said to somebody this week, sometimes God moves the mountain. Sometimes God wipes it out of the way. Sometimes God sends an angel and kills 185,000 people like he did in Hezekiah's life. Sometimes God comes in and just eliminates it. Sometimes God comes in and gets rid of leprosy and gets rid of the blindness and gets rid of the deafness and gets rid of the lame and gets rid of that withered hand and gets rid of that issue with blood. Sometimes God moves things out of the way. But sometimes, Exodus chapter 14, you walk up to a Red Sea and God is not going to move the Red Sea out of the way. He's going to part the Red Sea and take you through it. Now, listen to me. Sometimes we're looking for God to move our problems, and sometimes God wants to let us watch him take us through our problems. So don't always assume he's going to move it. Sometimes he's going to take you through. It'll still be there, but he's just going to open and let you go through. So the fire is there. God could have kept them from going into the fire. God could have stopped Nebuchadnezzar from throwing them in. God could have refused to let them get judged or let them go through consequences for doing right. Instead, he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to do it. He allowed them to go into the fire. Their established character, their extreme courage, their expressed confidence. Last week, we saw their emphatic conviction in the midst of their unknowing future and their unashamed faith, their unmovable focus, and now they're entering an unbelievable fate. He is angry, verse number 19. His visage has changed, and his commandment is that they be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And look at verse number 19. And that the furnace be heated seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Listen to me. He not only wanted to destroy them, he wanted to intensify his destruction. Listen to me. The more you live for God, the more you're going to anger people that don't. Understand that. Taking a stand does not always agree. And listen to me. Sometimes you have to take a stand against people you love. You have to take a stand against people that you care about. You have to take a stand against people that are near you. And sometimes they're angry. Remember Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. You can't take the Christian life personally. You got to understand, I'm on a side of somebody who was perfect, who was flawless, who was sinless. And when I identify with Jesus, I may lose some friends. Seven times hotter. How hot was it? Look at verse number 23. They were thrown into the very fiery furnace. Look at verse number 22. The king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot. The flame of the fire slew those men that took them up. I will tell you how hot it was. It was so hot that it killed the guys throwing them in. Now watch this now. Pastor, I'm serving God. Just give me a fire extinguisher. I'm serving God. Just keep fire out of my life. I'm serving God. Just don't let the heat come near me. Let me tell you something. It doesn't get any nearer to you than when it kills the people throwing you in. What do you do in the Christian life when you're getting ready to encounter something that you just watched wipe out somebody else? Anybody listening? What do you do when you're watching people drop to something and you're headed to the same thing? What do you do when you watch other people go through what you're about to go through and they didn't come out of it? What do you do when you watch other people fall apart and you're getting ready to encounter the same crisis? What do you do when you notice that this thing is knocking people down? They have no joy. They have no peace. They have no contentment. They have no progress. They've become casualties. What do you do when you look in the rearview mirror and you see this hurricane, this spiritual hurricane, this tsunami just spinning its way through the lives of people that you know, and you know it's coming your way and you can't avoid it? Don't you wish that every time a problem was coming that we could find somewhere to go and avoid it and hide from? By the way, we've been in America for the last couple of years. This virus is not something we can run under a rock and hide. It's here. Listen to me. Problems in life are here. Difficulties are here. Whether you serve God or don't serve God, these things are real. And you have to find out whether or not you're going to make it, even when you watch others can't make it. This is what I call a painful arena. A painful arena. It hurts everybody. I'm talking today not just about established character, extreme courage, emphatic conviction, or expressed confidence. Today, I want to give you this before you go home: an eternal companion. I said an eternal companion. Here's what I want you to get, Christian. When living for God causes you to lose friends, don't lose hope, because even though you lose some of them, you're going to gain one that means more to you than what you lost. It hurts to lose friends. It hurts to have people turn their back on you. It hurts to be abandoned, especially when you're doing right. It hurts when people walk away from you when you're trying to do the right thing. It hurts when you're second. It hurts when you're like Job going through trials and people look at you. You ain't sin, Job. That's why you're going to. You listen to me. He wasn't in sin. He was living right. It hurts. But I'm trying to tell you something. The hurt that you're facing is nothing like the help that you're going to experience, because there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Come on now. He's a friend to the friendless. He's comfort when you're lonely. He shows up. I want you to understand something. He shows up in a painful arena. He shows up with a prompt appearance. I want you to notice something. The Bible says he threw them in. He threw them in bound. That's a painful arena. You're bound. That means you're paralyzed in your activity. It's a painful arena. It's paralyzed activity. In other words, the world doesn't just want to see you hurt. It wants to see you stymied. It wants to see you incapable of doing your Christian journey. It wants to see you where you can't walk. You see, understand what I'm saying? When they were bound, that meant they couldn't move. The devil wants to get you to the point where you can't walk with God. That's why he wants you to stop reading your Bible. He wants you to stop praying. Isn't it amazing? You watch your favorite show. It can go for 3 hours. Nobody bothers you. You can stay awake. You can pay attention. You can remember everything that's going on. You can eat popcorn, drink something, keep everybody out the room, and nothing happens. And yet you kneel down to pray. The phone starts ringing. Bad thoughts show up in your mind. You start thinking about stuff that you never thought about. You don't cuss, never have. And the devil puts words in your mind that you never heard. And you start wondering, where in the world did I come? Listen to me. The devil wants you to stop walking with God. This is the attack on these fellas. Let's bind them. Because if we bind them, they can't move. Because nobody wants to see a Christian on the move. You listening to me today? Don't let your trials keep you to stop walking with God. Nobody wants to see a Christian on the move. Listen to me. It's hard for the devil to hit a moving target. See, if you're serving God and you're staying still, he can hit you. It's easy to hit. You remember when that sniper came through Northern Virginia years back? Y'all remember that? Yeah, I'm not going to say what we were all thinking about it. You know, that sniper came through. And one of the things they were telling us on the news is, when you go outside, walk zigzag. That's what they were telling us. Now, y'all laughing. Well, nobody laughing back then. All right. And we were all walking zigzag. And let me just keep it real. Since, you know, I'm a pastor, keep it real. Everybody was on this. Well, I know he's sniper. I know he ain't black. Yeah, he wasn't black. But anyway, we all thought he wasn't. But anyway, it didn't matter what he was. He was killing people. And you killing somebody down in near Richmond, and next thing you know, he's killing somebody right up there at Home Depot at Falls Church, where we used to shop. And you didn't know what you were doing, and kids had to cancel recess outside. We had to keep people inside. You had to get out and get gas, and you're trying to pump it and get back in, and you worry about you walking up to the gas station like this, zigzagging. You know what they were saying? It's hard to hit a moving target. I'll tell you what's happened during this pandemic. Some Christians that used to be moving for God are standing still. You want your marriage to get attacked? Stop moving. You want your Christian life to get attacked? Stop moving. You want your life to get attacked? Stop moving. If you were moving forward before the pandemic, you got to keep moving forward. So he binds them. Why? He wants to paralyze their activity in the midst of a painful arena. But I want you to notice the prompt appearance. And I'm almost done. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. Verse 24, rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did we not cast three in the midst of the furnace, bound in the midst of the fire? They said, true, verify, king, we were there. You cast three. That's exactly what you put, and you put them in bound. Verse number 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men. Watch this now. In the nick of time, Jesus showed up. Watch this now. I said a prompt appearance. The songwriter said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Finish it for me. Yes, he is. Amen. Listen to me. Don't you think that God doesn't know the forecast in your life? Don't you think that God's not acquainted with the burdens on your shoulders? Don't you think that God doesn't know what the doctor read on your diagnosis? Don't you think that God doesn't know about the prodigal, or God doesn't know about your marital struggle? Don't you think God doesn't know about your bank account? He doesn't know about your bills. He doesn't know about your pain. He doesn't know about your heartache. Just because you don't tell everybody and their mama doesn't mean that God doesn't know. He knows. And listen to me, just because people aren't there and you can't involve everybody and you don't know what everybody can understand. And listen to me. He knows when to show up. And the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar looked down. I threw in four bound, but I see that there, I threw in three bound, but I see four. His prompt appearance. And then I want you to notice his powerful effect. Notice he said, lo, I see four men. Next word, loose. That's the liberating provision. And then he not only say loose, he said, I see four men loose. And he said, walking. Not only liberating provision, but living progress. In other words, they're not only loose, but they're walking. And then he says, notice what he says after that. Not only four men loose in the midst of the fire, but he says they have no hurt. So liberating provision, living progress, and lacking pain. Watch this now. I threw them in bound, but now they're loose. They've been liberated. I threw them in where they couldn't move, but now they're walking. They have living progress. I threw them into the fire that killed the men that threw them in, but they have no hurt. Is anybody listening to me today? He showed up in the nick of time. Listen to me. You don't need to avoid the fire. You just need a friend who can handle the fire. You don't need to stay out of the fire. You just need to be in the fire with someone who knows how to handle the fire. You can't avoid problems. You can't avoid difficulties. You can't avoid heartache. You can't avoid adversity. You can't avoid terror and persecution. You can't avoid facing things. They're going to come unexpectedly. The more you live for God, the more that people that don't live for God will go against you. But mark it down on your calendar. If you go into the fire for living for God 100 times out of 100 times, Jesus will show up. He'll walk with you through the fire. And can I say this to you? As precious as Jesus is, there's nothing more precious than walking with him in the fire. If you've ever been by yourself going through a trial or difficulty, there's nothing like walking with him through the fire. And by the way, even when it feels like you can't walk, aren't you glad he's walking with you? Next week, I want to talk a little bit more about who's watching. Because when you go through the fire, somebody's watching you. And all of us are going through some kind of fire. And you know what? It's great to have people praying for you. Great to have people bearing your burdens. Great to have people checking up on you. But you know what the songwriter said? Can't nobody do you like Jesus. And let's be honest. We tell him things we don't tell anybody. He knows things about us that nobody knows. And by the way, he knows that we're flesh. And he knows our frame. And I want to encourage you today. You may be in the fire. Don't worry. He knows that you've been bound. He knows that you've been paralyzed. And he knows how many people that same fire has already wiped out. But we serve a God in a painful arena that will have a prompt appearance and give a powerful effect. He's more than just somebody we call on before we eat or some word people say before they cuss. For those of us that walk with us, he's our friend. And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Our Father, we love you and we bless you. Help us to look for you in the fire. Sometimes we're so busy looking for people. We need to look for you. You're with us. With us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I'm going to heaven. Would you know that? Would you raise your hand? God has saved me from the fire. What a blessing. Put your hands down. How many say, Pastor? I've been encouraged today, but I've also been challenged. Reminded that Jesus is my eternal companion. And in my fire, in my storm, I want him to be walking with me, and I want to be walking with him. If that's you, could you raise your hand? Pastor, God's spoken to me. God bless you all over the building. Put your hands down. One more question. How many say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? We just want to pray for you. Because there's a fire in hell that Jesus is not going to walk with you through that one. He already walked the road to Calvary so you don't have to go to hell. But you've got to accept him on this side. So you don't have to face his judgment on the other. Anyone like that? If you're here today watching online, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Right where you are today, would you be willing to admit you're a sinner, believing that he died, was buried, and rose again? If you believe the Bible, you should. It's God's word. God cannot lie. Right where you are, would you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm separated from you. But I believe you died, you were buried and rose again. Please forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me. As best as I know how, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I love you, Lord. Please let me be one of your children. If you prayed that prayer today, I'm asking you, number one, to rejoice in being a child of God. Number two, would you contact Crossroads Baptist Church? Find our information online. Let us know you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Let us have the wonderful opportunity to be able to connect you with the right literature and with a church family so that you can start your new walk with the Lord, walking with him every day. Our Father, we love you and we thank you. Please, Lord, take the word you've given us today and show us how words in the Bible matter. Three men bound, four men loose. Three men bound, four men loose walking. Three men loose bound in the fire that killed everyone. Four men loose walking with no hurt. you're able not only to take us through the fire, but you're able to take us through the fire without hurting us. Help us, Lord. We love you and we thank you. We praise you. Give us a good rest of the day. Safe, warm, and sound. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're glad you came to church today. Let's